says that? That God gave gifts. He's a gift to you. Now you say, well, he ain't perfect. Well, if he was, he wouldn't need your prayers. So no, he's not perfect. So that's okay. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise that's coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, they're smart and all. And you've always got people like that. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant. Look at that. Of that, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, see, God promised not to destroy the earth with the flood, but he didn't say anything about fire. By the same word are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So that means half the day is like 500 years before, or 500 years like half the day. I mean, time is irrelevant because God's outside time, right? He's outside. He can come inside time and go outside time. And there's some real good thoughts about that. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that they are in, shall be burned up. Now, the title of my message is Laughing at the Long-Suffering of God. So here's my three thoughts, my points. Those who are laughing, those who will not be laughing, and he who will laugh. And I just want you to understand tonight, too, my message is based on the Word of God. I say that for one reason. If you don't like it, don't blame me. It's in the Word of God. And I'm just going to teach the Word of God, and hopefully I'll do it with enthusiasm. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this privilege and honor to preach before New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for their kindness, their generosity. And when I think of this church, I don't think of the building. I think of the people, the body of born-again, baptized believers. So thank you for this church. Thank you for our guests that are here, our friends that have come. I pray you'll work in their life. Now tonight, dear Lord, if anything good and lasting is done, you've got to do it. And again, I hate preaching a sermon where I feel like I didn't do my best. But tonight, we need something better than a good speech. We need something better than a good sermon. I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in and that there'll be conviction, that the energy tonight will not be my personality, but will be the Holy Ghost. So bless, I pray, and thank you for all that are here. In Jesus' holy name, amen. 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 Good to see Caleb Wilson, his wife Jessica. He's a fine young preacher. He loves the Lord. He's serious about the things of God. I love Caleb. Amen. I don't know Jessica that much, but I know she can't be real smart. She married Caleb. And she's smart. And I praise the Lord. And pray for me. I leave for Australia Wednesday. I'm driving up to Ohio. I got a cheap flight. And then in May, this is pretty cool, I'll be training 60 new Navy SEALs in the Philippines. And we call it Heaven's Week. We don't call it Hell's Week. We call it Heaven's Week. And I had a Navy SEAL come to me yesterday. It was Friday. Week. And we were talking, and he's supposed to try to help me some, but I'm really excited about what the Lord may do. And then I need your prayers. I'll be going to Africa and then India. I've never been to India. And so that'll be different. Now, they are killing Christians in India. And I'm not worried about it. I'm not. First of all, God is sovereign. He'll take care of me. And if it's time. And then my number one concern is America, our country, man. I don't know. Sometimes God keeps things from you. We probably don't know how messed up we are. And I've often said, it's not the communists over in Russia that bother me. It's the communists here that bother me. And so our country has strayed away from God. And don't forget, it's not our problem is not number one. It's not a political problem. Our problem is a spiritual problem.
Amen.
Yeah. We've turned our back on God. You cannot thumb your nose at God and get away with it.
Amen.
And do it.
That's right.
And so America is no exception. Now I want to preach to you laughing at the long-suffering of God. You know, many a Christian has a sincere, even pure mind, but you got a bad memory. And that's why he starts off in verse 1. He says, I write to you to both stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So you need to remember some things. We have a tendency to take things for granted. Or maybe you get so used to the darkness that, aren't you ever going to a dark restaurant and can't hardly see anything? But after you've been there 5-10 minutes, you get accustomed to the darkness. And I think that's us. Then he talks about the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. And then the New Testament apostles. Now listen, you realize that the judgment of God and the wrath of God is not an original message with us. Enoch preached about it. Isaiah, Jude, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Jeremiah. I mean, they all preached on the coming day of the wrath of God. The apostles, all the apostles, Matthew and John and Paul, Jude, they all talked about a coming day of wrath. The other question is, and this is important, who is this book written to? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. This is important. We'll revisit this. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 1. Here's who Paul wrote these two letters to, or Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In other words, it's not written to a church. This is a general epistle. It's a circular, circulated amongst these the believer remnant. And notice what he calls them, the elect. Greek word here is electos, chosen of God. We make a big mistake when we just say that salvation is just up to your free will. I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm a soul winner, okay? If you make a person think, well, it's all up to you, it's up to you, it's up to you, more than say, okay, well, then I don't want Christ today. Salvation's like a cookie jar. Whenever you want it, just go get your cookie.
Right.
But what if it's up to God? And the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, and you say no? Well, he may not deal with you tomorrow. He may not deal. See, you don't get saved on your time, you get saved on God's time.
Amen. Amen.
So when you make salvation like just like it's kind of like signing up for a club, you cheapen salvation.
Yeah.
You cheapen it. Elect, and it says foreknowledge. Now the foreknowledge here is not foresight. Foresight, like I can see Caleb, and Caleb is going, oh, look at that. He's going to bow his head and get saved. Well, that's amazing. So based on what I see, I'll choose. Now, the problem with that is this. He's the cause. God is the effect. But my Bible says that he's the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, then, when God, I mean, the Bible says it very clearly in Psalm 53 that when God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did seek after God, he said there was none.
Yeah, right.
Now, that's what he foresaw.
Right.
I mean, if God looked in the future, he didn't see anybody go there. So the word foreknowledge is the idea that God foreloved or forechose or foreacquainted himself with you. You know, he knows you. You didn't know him. And based on his foreknowledge or his foreloving of you, he acquainted himself with you. Based on that, he chose. So it says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of Spirit. Now look at that. The Holy Spirit separated you. See, that's why you're saved. My dad did not get saved until he got back from World War II. And my dad always told me, because if I'd have died in Germany, I'd gone to hell. Now think about those of you that are not saved tonight. Why are you alive? Because God's keeping you alive. That's why.
Yeah.
And And maybe he set you apart. Maybe God's going to save you next week.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks from now. I don't know. Sanctification in the Spirit. Look at this. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So we understand that the same God that chooses sinners also chooses soul winners. He chooses the means on where how to bring you to Christ. How's that? Whosoever will, let him come. That's the invitation. And what do you do? I look at every sinner like a potential Christian. Everyone. I become all things to all men. But I might by all means save some. So we want to preach the gospel to everybody. We want to love everybody. But we know not everybody's going to accept. Some are going to mock. Some are going to laugh. Some are going to give you the finger. You know, that's just what's going to happen. They're going to laugh. I've been laughed at so much, I've had them spit in my face. I remember one time I was preaching Oktoberfest. Cincinnati has what's called Oktoberfest. And I was preaching, and that is a big crowd. I mean, there was probably 1,000 people listening to this. And this girl, I found out later, it was Heather. She came and she was cussing me, man, calling me everything but a white man. And then she gave me the finger. And went like this, gave me the finger, right in front of my face. Now, what do you do? What do you do? I ignore her and say, preaching. You never engage with somebody like that because they want to stop preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you never stop preaching. So I just kept preaching. Well, she walked away. She came back 5 minutes later and said, this. I mean, she came and started cussing me and gave me the finger. Well, she left. And then she came back and did it a third time. I'm like, God, I thought, man, this girl was lighting me or something. I don't know. And so she came back the third time. Well, now I'm done preaching. Because when you're preaching with volume, you can only last about 15, 20 minutes. So I'm done now. I've got one of my preacher boys preaching. So he's preaching. Well, she came back the fourth time. You'll never believe what she said. She came to me. She goes, why are you out here? I said, because we love you. Really? Yeah. So I came out here. Why are you out here? I came here to have a good time. And she got real quiet. She turned around and she walked off. Then she came back again. She goes, I got a question for you. Why is it your church is the only one that comes out here? Where's all the other churches? And that broke my heart. Where are they?
Amen.
Why are we the... And see, you know what? You know, if all Christians would just charge hell with a squirt gun, you know what would happen?
Yeah.
The world would have to pay attention.
Amen.
But when there's only a few of us, well, there's these quacks.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's Westboro Baptist. Remember the Westboro Baptist? Yeah. They make fun of veterans and so on. Well, those guys are idiots. Man. I want nothing to do with people like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if we would just get more aggressive and more loving and challenge them, but here's what's going to happen. They're going to laugh at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to mock you. They're going to call you names. I had one of my preacher boys, he got punched in the mouth. I've had guns pulled on me, knives and so on. I mean, it's going to happen. And it's getting worse. A few months ago, that street preacher got shot in the head.
Right
in the middle of the sermon. Now, he lived through it. The other guy, another street preacher, got shot in the eyeball, and it killed him. So it's getting kind of rough out there, you know? But this young man here, you're a Marine, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it got kind of rough out there, didn't it? Do you play football?
Briefly.
Okay. You know what? Can you imagine if you're playing football and you come off the field and you go, Coach, come to me. Chomp. I was up there and that guy hit me. That'd be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? Or if you came to your lieutenant and said, they're shooting at us. Captain. What do you expect? Well, same thing with us Christians. What do you expect?
Yeah.
You're out there fighting the devil, and you're fighting the world. I mean, you want to look to him and hug him and say, I just love the way you preach. I mean, is that what you're saying today? No, they're going to cuss you out.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. So number one, who is it that's laughing? Who is it that's laughing? Now, the history of Christianity is this. There's going to be scoffers and mockers. When I was street preaching at the Reds game, I had a bunch of Jews making fun of me and they laughed at me. And so... I love Jews, but, you know, they just think they're so smart sometimes. So I thought, well, I'm going to box ears for you. And so I said, hey, you know what? I said, the Bible talks about you guys. You guys are in the Bible. And they go, what? They have college students at the University of Cincinnati. And I go, yeah, you're in the Bible, man. I just read about you this morning. who show you?
Yeah.
And so I turned to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I said, see there? In the last days, there's going to be scoffers and mockers. There you are, right there, man. And they shut up. They looked at that and goes, that's you. There's going to be scoffers, there's going to be mockers. There's going to be bloody persecution. Some of us may die if things get rough. And you know, I mean, what do you expect? I don't want the Marines and the Army, the Navy SEALs to be the only one that fight for their... I mean, if they're going to fight for their country, shouldn't we fight for our Lord? And I don't mean with this. I mean with this. With this. Shouldn't we fight? Yeah, we should. So this context, will you notice the context is talking about the second coming of Christ. That's what it's talking about. Because they say, where is the promises coming? Oh, we've heard this stuff before. Ah, yeah, Jesus is coming. Yeah, I don't believe that. Right. See, that's what they're saying. After 2,000 years. Now, you've got to admit, sometimes I do wish the Lord hurry up, you know?
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
But these guys are ignorant. And notice it says in verse 5, they're willingly ignorant. You're not innocent in this ignorance. Their minds are darkened. And also, too, notice there's lust involved. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is, they don't want the Lord to come back. Now, see, I got that book I wrote on atheism. You know what? Many atheists have admitted the reason why they don't believe in God is if they believe in God, then it would change the way they live.
Yeah.
It would crimp your moral, your morality. Because, you see, everybody wants to sin and have a good conscience. But if there's a God, then there's a heaven. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. And there's a judgment day, and I'm not getting away with what I'm doing.
Yeah, right.
And that, I don't like that. So it's easier just to say, no God, no God, no God. No God. That's what it says in Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, didn't say he believed it. He says it. And the Hebrew there, he keeps repeating it. Now, what do they say? There's no atheists in the foxhole. Man, when the bullets are flying, bombs are busted, that'll be a reality check. And now you believe there's no God. So what we have here then is that they're basically making fun of God. And that's one thing I try to remember, that when they mock me, it's not me, it's Jesus Christ they're mocking. I don't like that, but that's good. If you line up with Christ, you're going to catch it. And so all things continue as they are. No, they don't. Don't you remember God interrupted civilization with a flood? He interrupted civilization with Sodom and Gomorrah? No, not all things continue. Sometimes God interrupts things. But you got to admit, as far as our sphere of understanding, it's been kind of quiet. I mean, you think about all the people that have suffered. And God was quiet. You think about all the horrible things, the alphabet people out there. Like, I wish we had it. No, I can't get church at this point. But these stinking homosexuals having that parade and having those little boys dress up like drag queens. We're talking about kid little boys that are 8, 9 years old. And that just boils my blood. And then having drag queens going to libraries and reading storybooks to people. And you got dumb, stupid parents taking their kids to that stuff. Man, what is wrong with people? And yet God is quiet. And then all the child trafficking going on. This stuff is happening right now, man. I'm telling you, it's so wicked what they're doing. Why doesn't God do something? Now, first of all, I think he does. But we don't see it, right? That one guy that shot your friend, that cop, that guy was on Facebook laughing about it. Laughing about killing the cop. Really? And out there, was that in California, those guys, Kansas City, those guys that killed that person, the mom was on Facebook. What is that called? Where you ask for money? What's that called?
GoFundMe.
The mom set up a funding thing for that stupid guy. See, people are, they're reprobate in their minds. And they laugh at God, and they laugh at Christians, and they mock, and they scoff, and they just have a good old time. But the day is going to come when God will cut it short. Number two, who's not laughing?
Yeah.
Now the Bible speaks of people that are laughing. I'm going to take you to a few scriptures if you'll please just give me some patience. Look at Job chapter 21. And then we'll go to Ecclesiastes. And I promise I'm not going to make you go through the whole Bible. Just a few portions of Scripture. Job chapter 21. And then we'll go to Ecclesiastes. Job 21:14, please. Now in chapter 21, we'll start with verse 14. Look at the wording here. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray to him? You see what they're saying there? It's kind of insolence. This is very disrespectful. Lo, their good is not in their hand, verse 16. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. So here's what you have here. You've got people laughing and saying, we're not going to serve God. What good is that? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Go past Psalms, Proverbs, and then you'll come to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 2. Ecclesiastes. Let me share your Bible. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what do with it? Now there comes a time when laughing is just not appropriate. And I would say to all of you, be careful what you laugh at. Look at chapter 7, verse 3. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. You'll learn more at a funeral than you will at a party. Now, a funeral's not as fun, but you'll learn more at a funeral than you will at a party. Look at chapter 7, verse 6, same book. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This is also vanity. See, fools make a mock at sin, Solomon said. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15. Go past Isaiah, and you'll come to Jeremiah 15 and verse 17. 15:17. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Mockers, scoffers. Now, the thing is, people are laughing, they're having a good old time, but they did in the days of Noah. It wasn't so funny when 10,000 tsunamis broke loose. Now, you know, the flood of Noah, it wasn't the pitter-patter of the rain. I hope you know that. I mean, the crashing deluge of water and then the tsunamis and the geysers that erupted. I mean, the earth was overflowed with a flood in a matter of probably half a day. It was a horrible flood. But they weren't laughing then. And when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, they weren't laughing then. By the way, do you know they just, I don't know if you guys paid, they found Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
I love archaeology. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd be an archaeologist. But they call me Indiana Dan over there, siege, you know. Because I've actually done some archaeological digs. I love archaeology. And I watched this guy and the buildings. These ancient buildings now, they look like rock formation. When he tells a building. And he took something, I guess a pocket knife, and he scratched it, and sparks came out. You know why? Brimstone. All that salt and brine is now, so it's right there. You got the Dead Sea, it's almost like in half. It's like you have a long Dead Sea and a shorter one. Right there at the shorter, shallow end of the Dead Sea, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. And then they got stalactites up. Remember Mrs. Lot? The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Pillar of salt. Why? Because that volcanic ash and the brimstone and so on turned her into a stalactite, I guess. But it's there today. Now, you think the atheist and the scoffer and the mocker and the agnostic, you think they look at that?
Nah.
You know why? Because they love their sin. You know, I was trying to lead this guy, he's from Syria, trying to lead him to the Lord. His name was Habush. And his brother was there. His brother was a smart aleck. He was an atheist. And while I'm witnessing to Mr. Habush, this atheist was making fun of me. He was, well, what about this? Well, you preachers are all alike, blah, blah. I said, well, I can answer those questions, but I'm talking to your brother. And he just kept interrupting. Well, I saw this from nowhere. I said, I'm going to have to deal with this dude. So I looked at him and I said, so you're an atheist, huh? You believe there's no God? He goes, that's right. I said, huh? How long have you been diving into pornography? and his government, and it shut him up. You know why he did that, Rodney? The problem with the atheist is not this. The problem is this. You look at Psalm 53, corrupt are they. They've done abominable iniquity. So they want to argue with you on an intellectual level. The problem is they love your sin. Isn't that it? You love your sin? That's what it is. You want to argue with me on some intellectual, cerebral conversation. I asked him, so what about your pornography? And man, he shut up. He ended up and went to say, I know you believe one. How did you know that? Because I know probably that's why.
Yeah.
I know what's going on. Let me tell you something. God's going to wipe the smile off your face one day. It won't be funny. Now, is God loving? Yes, he's loving. But you know what? The most loving thing I've said thus far is God's going to wipe the smile off your face one day.
Yeah.
You need to hear that. You need to fear God. You know when Jesus will become sweet to you? When your sin is bitter.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Reason why Jesus isn't sweet? Because your sin is sweet. There's a problem. There's no laughter in hell. The Bible says there's weeping. That's the pain of remorse, fear, guilt, loneliness. Wailing, that's the pain of God's fiery wrath. And then gnashing of teeth, that's anger and rebellion and hatred. You say people are angry in hell? Yeah. See, you got to remember, people in hell are not saved. So they don't have a regenerate. It's not like, now the only place I've ever been that reminded me of hell was an insane asylum. Back years ago, this is before your time, we used to have insane asylums. It was called Longview. And those people there, man, they're just stark, raving mad. And when I was in there, man, people were crying. I heard people gnashing on their teeth in straitjackets. As I was walking down the hallway, one guy almost ran through the glass, and he put his face, and he was screaming, "Help me! Help me! Help me!" And man, I tell you, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I couldn't wait, because I'm thinking, man, this must be what hell's like. And I felt sorry for these poor people, right? If their medicine wears off, man, they're just stark raving mad. It's horrible. Today, he said, well, where are these places? They let them all out. Now they're called homeless people. It's horrible. They did that. And you know why they did that? Because they wanted to hasten their death. That's our government for you. But at one time, we did have these homes built for them. Now, number three, I won't keep you long. Who will laugh? And this is going to bother you. Now our Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slack. You know what that means? What seems to be a delay or indifference is really long-suffering.
Yeah, that's right.
God's pretty long-suffering. I mean, I think God, I mean, the Bible, you know, the Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not sadistic. Go to hell. Ha, 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 ha. That's not how God is. But does God laugh? I want to ask you a question. What do you think, Robin? Does God laugh? When's the last time you heard a sermon on the laughter of God? Who is going to laugh? Look at Titus 1:2. In Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, in which God that cannot lie, I think I'm quoting right, promised before the world began. See that? Now see, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. What promise is that? Well, the promise of eternal life. See that? Titus 1:2. Look at 1 John 2 and verse 25. 1 John 2:25. Talking about the promise. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Look at that. So God is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness. In other words, there are people that are yet to be saved. Do you realize that there are potential Christians in Maryville? They're not saved yet. They are your future brothers and sisters. Now, how are we going to find them? You've got to witness to them. You got to try to win them. That's why I believe in compassion. But God's going to say, there may be somebody here tonight. You're going to walk out that door, and you're going to think that guy's crazy. You know what's going to happen? The hound of heaven is going to hunt you down, and this week, next month, you may get saved. Just like Roger here. Right?
Yep.
He hunted you down. I knew of a guy. This guy hated God. He was an artist. You know what he did? He drew a picture of the apostles and Jesus at the Last Supper, and he drew them drunk. And he was making fun of them. Do you know that? Do you know who that was? Campbell? That was Peter Rutland. Yeah, buddy. Their eyes were crossed. He drew them drunk. And he thought that was so funny. And God later saved him. God got the last laugh on that one, didn't he?
Amen.
See, you better be careful. See, God is not some Santa Claus up there wringing his hand up.
Oh, poor Roger. Won't trust him. Poor Roger.
He'll get you, man. He'll knock you down. He'll get you. He'll get you. I knew a guy in the Navy. He cursed God, didn't want anything to do with God. And one night, he was in the submarine surface. And that night, it was 120 degrees. And he was looking at that sky, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he said to this thing, he goes, I feel like I'm in hell. He was dehydrated because it's so hot there in the Pacific Ocean. And he goes, it's so hot. And he goes, I wonder what it's going to be like. And then this voice came to him and said, you are going to hell.
Yeah.
And that guy got saved.
Amen.
God will get you. He'll put you in jail. He'll put you in the hospital. He'll get you. I hope he does.
Yeah.
You know, God, listen, this is my last message, so I can say this. Just a little bit of me, Steve. I know Steve can handle it. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate.
Yeah.
You better pray you're not an Esau.
Yeah.
Now, here's why. Now, listen up. Think like this. God hated Esau. How did he express it? Gave him women, gave him food, gave him money, gave him land, gave him cattle, gave him riches, and left him alone. And he enjoyed his sin. He enjoyed his life. He had a good life. That's it. Now, God loved Jacob. You know how he showed it? He beat his butt off. Every time he turned around, man, he was screwing up and God was beating him. He got cheated out of his wages 10 times by Laban. And then he thought his son was killed, Joseph. And then he married 4 women. Of course, when you got 4 wives, you got 4 mother-in-laws. So that's a problem. You know? And my point is God loved Jacob, but he beat his butt off.
Yeah.
See the difference? You know what the worst thing God can do to you is leave you alone.
Yeah.
Leave you alone. You want to sin? Come out and sin. Go get drunk. Do drugs. Get out there with prostitutes. Go ahead. And God lets you do that. It's the worst thing God can do to you. But when God's convicting you, man, when he's convicting you, all of a sudden, the beer don't taste as good. And all of a sudden, man, your favorite sin is not sweet, man. God's convicting. You know why? Because he loves you.
Amen.
He loves you so much, he wants to keep you from sinning and save you from your sin.
Amen.
And when your sin becomes bitter, then Jesus becomes sweet.
Yes.
That's what I hope happens to you.
Amen.
You've got to go through that. You've got to be, the schoolmaster has to work you over the law. And then when the schoolmaster gets done working, then you'll want Jesus. The law is the needle. The gospel is the thread. But you gotta be lost. Gotta get you lost. Now here's the thing. God is long-suffering to usward. Please go back to 2 Peter. We'll close. 2 Peter chapter 3. I don't know if we're going to close or not. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look, if you will, at verse 15. An account of the long-suffering of our Lord. I wish some of you were crying like that baby.
Yeah.
An account of the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. See, God's long-suffering.
Oh.
You know, like, why did Hugh Hefner live to be 98 years old, 99 years old? That old reprobate. And he never did trust Christ. But he let him live. God is so long. You see, why would God let an old sinner live 80, 90 years. Well, it's long suffering. But remember, a day to the Lord is, you know, a thousand years, like one day. I mean, you think about it. I always tell young people, I say, if you want to get to hell quicker, just sin more. Some people go to hell 30 miles an hour, some go 75 miles an hour. If you want to go 75 miles an hour, go out and do more drugs. Do fentanyl. You'll get to hell quicker. You say, you're being sarcastic. A little bit. You say, why? Because they need to be provoked. Sometimes you've got to provoke people. Some of you, you've only dealt with nice people. Man, I've dealt with some of the hardest, meanest people. You just got to get their attention.
Yeah. Man.
And I don't want you to go to hell. If I held the hands of dying people trying to keep them alive, and I couldn't do it, man. God has to save you. But my point is this. There is this. I'll say it this way. One night I was out door knocking. This was when I was a young preacher. It was in Covington, Kentucky. And I went to this house. And at first they started listening. And the more I witnessed, the more people came in. By the time I got done witnessing, there's like 12, 15 people in there. Well, by the time I got done witnessing, they were laughing at me. I'll never forget that night. It was raining and storming. And the electric went off. Well, all the lights went off, and so they had to get candles. And that's interrupt. If you're a soul winner, you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, you've got so many interruptions. And so then, while I'm witnessing, the teenage boy and girl, they started making out right in front of while I'm witnessing. And the parents were laughing about it. And instead of being mad, I was brokenhearted because I thought, really? I mean, the gospel means nothing. I thought God was going to maybe convict you and bring you to Christ. Well, it wasn't. So finally, I reached the point where, okay, I'm not getting anywhere. So I said, go ahead and word prayer. Yeah, go ahead. So I prayed. And I asked God to save me. When I got done, I left. And I felt kind of like a failure. I felt rejected. So I walked. I never forget this. I was on Scott Street there in Covington. I walked down the steps. I'm walking to my car. It's raining. And I stop at the corner. And Brother Caleb, this has never happened before. It hasn't happened since. And I stop at the corner. I bowed my head. And I was asking God to save me. And all of a sudden, the voice came over my mind and said, don't pray for them. Leave them alone. And it startled me.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, don't you, Steve? And I raised my head. I mean, it was an impression, but if the voice would have been audible, it would have been just as real. And I didn't pray for them. You say, what was that? I don't know. But I know this. There comes a time when God says enough is enough, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. You understand?
Right.
Don't mess with God. Don't mess with him. See, to God is long suffering. He's compassionate, but you better not mock him.
Right.
Fools make a mock of sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Amen.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. And every one of us, if we reap what we sow, we all go to hell.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, come on. To be honest. Every one of us.
Amen.
Now, who is going to laugh? Who is it that's going to laugh? Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Please look at verse 24. Now, the Lord Jesus is wisdom personified. I know that the context here is wisdom, but it is Christ. Now look what it says. Because I've called, and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. I see the sincerity, the long-suffering of God, Sabrina. See that? But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That's pretty rough. The same God of John 3:16 is the same God here. You say, well, that's all about wisdom. All right, look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. In verse 12. Psalm 37, verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now here's what I'm just going to close with this. He who laughs last, laughs best. And let me tell you, God gets the last laugh.
Yeah.
Now I know God is loving. I know He's very loving. I used to study Greek mythology, and there was this boy. He had a loving mother, and he loved his mom. But he met this girl, and she was good looking, man. This girl was beautiful. And he loved this girl. This girl wasn't good for him. And as he fell in love with this girl, this is the great fable, the girl said, well, look, I'll marry you, but I want you to cut your mother's heart out. This is this great fable. It's really interesting. And so the boy wrestled with that because he loved his mother, but he loved this girl so much, he said, okay, so he cut his mother's heart out, killed his mother. Now he's carrying his mother's heart to his future fiance who tripped. And the heart spoke to him and said, are you okay, my son? He said, what's the moral of that story? A mother's love is just something amazing. But you know what's better than a mother's love? God's love.
Amen.
Now look at me. If you say no to a God of love, there's nothing left but a God of wrath.
Amen.
I'm telling you, he ain't messing around.
Amen.
You know, there was a day, Sister Robin, when preachers preached on the wrath of God and hellfire, our country was better off.
Yeah.
You know why? Judgment preaches what gets your attention. But it's the love of God that brings you to Christ.
Amen.
So you gotta preach the wrath of God first, then preach the love of God. You better fear God.
Amen.
Better fear God.
That's right.
I don't know what the laughter sounds like. What would it feel like to get the great white throne judgment? God laughs. The bar for me, I never knew you. It's rough, man. Aren't you glad God saved you?
Yes, I am.
Because you deserve the same sentence.
That's right.
Don't ever look at some lost sinner and act like you're better than them.
Amen.
Don't ever do
that.
Right. So don't laugh at the long suffering of God.
Amen.
I can tell you some people that did it. When Christ was on the cross and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is Aramaic, and they cried out, he called for Elias. And they mocked him and got a sponge of vinegar and put his lips. It's rough, man. Will you trust Christ tonight? Why don't you repent? You're fighting a battle you cannot lose and cannot win. You will not fight God and win. The best thing you can do is lose to God. Because if you'll lose to God, you win.
Amen.
Throw up the white flag.
Amen.
See, just repent.
Amen.
Turn around. Well, I can't repent. Well, then ask God to give you repentance.
Amen.
Ask God to give you faith. Faith and repentance are gifts of God. Ask God to give it to you. Be concerned. Shed tears over your own soul. Trust Christ. Why go to heaven? You know what's bad? If one of you is lost and you leave here, and what if you die this week, this message will haunt you the rest of your life. Because you were this close, you could have trusted Christ. I wonder if there's somebody in hell right now that wish they could trade places. I'm begging you to trust Christ. You say, well, God doesn't beg. I'm not God. I'll beg you. I'm begging you to trust Christ. I don't want to go to hell. What do you say? We trust Christ. And what about you Christians that love the Lord? When's the last time you wept over a sinner? You know, some of you got lost children, got lost grandkids, and you act like everything's fine. It's not. I got a grandson right now. His name's Aiden. You can think of it. He's been a model child. He's now 20 years old, and he has forsaken the faith. And it's breaking his dad's heart. So I drove all the way, though, loves me. My grandson loves me. I wept. But he's putting up a front, you know. But he knows I love him. So I talked to Josh today. I'm going to go see Aiden again in April when I get back from Australia. And I'm going to lower the boom on him with love. But I'm not going to, look, if you're going to go to hell, man, you're going to have to go with my tears. I'm going to plead with you. I mean it. I do not mess around with it. That's the most important thing to me is your soul. What shall profit man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't go to hell. Don't go. It's not worth it. Your stupid sin is not worth it.
That's right.
Eternity in hell.
Amen.
And if you think God is going to be in heaven, oh, I just wish you would have got another man. God is compassionate now. But you go beyond that, man. It's over. And heaven won't miss you. You say, why? Because they'll wipe away all our tears.
Right. Yeah.
So we're not going to be weeping over our lost loved ones forever. We'll weep, but then you'll wipe the tears away, right? Because how could you enjoy heaven if your little girl went to hell? So God's going to have to fix it to where you don't remember that anymore. Yeah. They've got a winner now. So I appreciate you. And stop beating yourself up. It wasn't always a good day. Well, that's done. Winner. Pray every day. Pray every day, I'm about to say.
Amen.
Go after it. If she was in a burning building, what would you do? Would you bust the door down? Would you worry about what people think? We've got to get serious about souls. They that go forth, bearing precious seed, weeping, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, praying for sheep. You've got to weep over people. Amen?
Yeah.
And you were in Afghanistan? Iraq?
Iraq.
I mean, were you bored? I mean, did you? When they were shooting at you, did you get a little adrenaline?
Yes, sir.
You had a buddy that was wounded, did you do everything you could? Don't leave one man behind.
Yes, sir.
Semper Fi, amen?
Semper Fi.
Well, I'm a Marine. Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you sure? Then live it.
Yep. That's right. Yep.
And look at you, man. You're a tough guy. God could use you. How many men could you win to Christ?
Yeah.
You could win plenty. See, you fight for your country. You know, there's some ego involved. I get that. But you still fought for country. Now I want you to fight for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Fight for the souls of men. That's why I love the military.
Amen.
Because there's, you know, Paul used a lot of metaphors about the military. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that war is entangled in something that bears for his life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
Amen.
That's you. So stop playing games and just live forward.
Yeah.
Sell out for Christ. You agree with that, don't you?